So now is the time for the message. Please find a comfortable chair if you haven't already. Grab another cup of coffee, perhaps, or a glass of water, and just sit and listen. Let's go on this journey together. He was on a sort of pilgrimage, this Jacob, a sort of pilgrimage through life, a journey to an uncertain new home in the hope of finding work, and under pressure from his father Isaac to find a wife, the sort of uncertain and vulnerable pilgrimage through life that most of us are on, most of the time. And he found himself in a very ordinary place, this Jacob, a shelter for the night on a rock in a town called Lutz, the sort of place where you just pitch your tent, then pass on through without really giving it a second look, the sort of place where we all seem to spend most of our lives, most of the time. But ordinary places are never ordinary. Ordinary places are all extraordinary, if we find the eyes of our hearts opened to see them that way. And ordinary journeys through life are never ordinary. They are always extraordinary, transformed each moment wondrously anywhere by encounters with the divine. So in the dark of a dreary night on a campsite in this humdrum place, Jacob met God in a dream, and God promised him a certain future, a blessed future, a future which far exceeded any aims or intentions this young man had yet had. As Jacob woke up from this life-transforming dream, the eyes of his heart were open to see the place he was in a very new way. "Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it," he cried out in amazement. "This is an awesome place," he said, astonished. "Surely it is the house of God. It is a gate that leads to heaven." And he renamed that place Bethel, which means house of God. Now this story is one of those touchstone stories, one of those narratives that evokes an immediate image of what we ever come to refer to as Jacob's ladder. It is a story that has found its way into popular culture, in movies, in the name of a plant, even in a riddle. What do you get when you cross Martin Luther King with the rock group Led Zeppelin? Well, you get Jacob's dream of the stairway to heaven. But like many stories that we recognize as soon as they are referred to, beyond the broad brushstrokes outline of a ladder and a Jacob and a dream, what does this strange little story in the larger narrative of this less than likable young man mean? What does this strange little story in the mega narrative of the Jewish people mean? And what does this strange little story mean for us? What should it mean for us today? Why do we even read it? Well, first we read it because it is a darn good story. A troubled young man, downright dishonorable, as we heard last night, showing no signs of repentance for his actions against his brother, traveling alone, bunking down for the night, a stone for a pillow, facing an uncertain tomorrow. And as a result of a dream, his next day looks different. His outlook has begun to change. He has not overnight become a changed person. He has not repented or made reparation. None of that has happened. But he has experienced something that makes him feel less alone, that makes him aware of something he was not aware of before sleep. He has had a dream that he identifies immediately as an experience of God. It is a tale well told, sparsely, with no extraneous details. So first we read this story because it is a good story. And second we read this story because it is a good story that we can relate to. We have all done dumb things. Some of us have done very dumb things. We have all hurt another, whether a brother, a friend, a stranger. We have all felt very alone. We have all denied responsibility or rationalized our way around owning up to something or to someone. And we have all had dreams. Vivid, ordinary, extraordinary, frightening, comforting. We have all had dreams. And if we listen, sometimes our dreams point us toward a decision or clarify something in our lives. Sometimes, of course, we can make neither head nor tail of our dreams. But this was not one of those for Jacob. Jacob chose to listen to the content of his sleep-filled hours, chose to take the content at face value. He even erects a stone to mark the place where he found God, or where, probably more properly, God found him. And third, we read this story because it is a good story we can relate to that allows us to flex our spiritual muscle and engage our spiritual intelligence. This story has been interpreted, explained, reinterpreted, re-explained by all the monotheistic faiths in images, in sermons, in theology. It has certainly been partially responsible for the collective notions of the presence of God up there, separating the profound heaven from the profane earth and us down here. It has been used as a foundation myth, providing cement for nation building for the Jewish people. Your offspring, it says, your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed by you and your offspring. It has been used to provide the glue of the divine gift of place to a people. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Proof of the covenant. It has also been used to point to Jesus, the one at the top of the ladder. It has been used rather terrifyingly to show humans falling off the ladder more often than they ascend, falling through sin back down the rungs. And it has been used in a rather more positive way to describe spiritual growth, the flexing of spiritual muscle, the learning of spiritual lessons, the application of spiritual intelligence. So here is an attempt at flexing for our time and place this morning. Now, one of the highlights of my work right now is a group that meets for Bible study each week to discuss the readings for that Sunday. And it is here that commentaries are referred to, different versions of the readings discussed, and spiritual muscles certainly get flexed. And this week, like many weeks, I learned something new, something I had not known, and something that allowed me to write this sermon this week, to find a hopeful and spiritually informed way of looking at the text. Now, I also found myself this week engaged with some folks whose theology and way of being in the world was frankly frightening to me and very far away from the content of my own faith. I really struggled with viewing them as under the same umbrella as myself, of both claiming the name Christian. And I'm sure they felt the same about me. Now, I also found this week a picture that graces the front of the bulletin. Instead of a ladder or an incline, the angels ascending and descending are on the double helix of DNA. And that picture made me very happy. Think on that image for a while. Think on the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of that image. Now, I won't say any more about it, but I would love to hear of your spiritual muscles flexing in ideas to take you forward. Now, I certainly could not agree with the theology expressed by the folks I referred to in the earlier just now. Yet I could see how they got to where they are right now, inheriting stories like our weeds and wheat passage today. Interpreting them where the weeds are thrown into the fire at the harvest and we read for weeds individuals. Where they are taken as gospel truth, meaning literally true, they hurt and they frighten and they reduce spiritual muscle mass. Do you not flex when you hear this, that the weeds and the wheat exist in each one of us simultaneously. We ain't all one or the other, or where the interpretation of the ladder of Jacob's dream can only be climbed by those deemed worthy. This is another place where we find frightening texts. It can only be climbed by those deemed worthy, climbed one painful rung at a time. Not everyone, in fact, very many, do not make it to the top. And then the determination of worthiness becomes a very human decision based on the human constructs of heaven and hell. What I learned this week in Bible study, what I learned this week that brought me hope, that brought me a new understanding of this story, is that the word salam, that we have translated as ladder, can be better translated not as ladder, but as incline or ramp. Jacob's ramp, Jacob's incline. Not sure it has a ring to it yet, but it will, and it should. And I dreamed there was a ramp set up on the earth, the head of it reaching to heaven. Think about it, a ramp can be navigated by all. A ramp does not climb vertically away from the earth, but rises along the earth. It can be traveled concurrently by many. You can help me on the ramp to move forward. We can stop and rest a while on a ramp, share a meal, a story, give another a hand along, walk side by each, crawl, run, skip, hop, jump. A ramp is more a journey toward than an Everest to be climbed. And this ramp can be traversed both up and down. No, correction, not up and down. This journey goes both one way and the other. Spiritual intelligence, sharpened by lessons learned on the incline, is applied as we go back down out into the world. Those we have walked with, the things we have done, the cock-ups we have made, and the sublime moments of connection with God all go into the mix of weed and wheat. So in the present COVID crisis, we see we do not walk the ramp alone. We rock, walk, run, crawl, skip in the company of all others, not only spiritually, not only biologically, but intellectually, emotionally, and psychologically. This ain't a Horatio Alger story. And so we listen to the scientists. We wait to open. We wear masks and we limit physical contact. We wait and it is hard and we wish it different. But we know the time will come again when we will meet in person. And that will be such a joyful day. And so we listen and we learn from those crying out in the streets in these days, from those whose stifled silence is deafening, from all, and I mean all, with whom we share the journey, the incline, the ramp, even those we disagree with wholeheartedly. From the spiritual flexing of Led Zeppelin to end, from the Stairway to Heaven. And if you listen very hard, the tune will come to you at last. When all are one and one is all, to be a rock and not to roll. And with apologies to Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, we are riding an incline to heaven. Amen.